Welcome to Alliance for the Brave, a program that advocates for our veterans and first responders. Presented by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Certified Senior Advisor Jim Blythe, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Alliance for the Brave, serving and empowering those who have served in the line of duty with a focus on bringing the core leadership values of honor, duty, and service to our communities. America, let's take action to take care of our brave men and women who have put their lives on the line to serve us nationally and locally. It's time to tune in, join in, and plug in. Welcome to Alliance for the Brave. And now, here's your host, Jim Blythe.
In the air everywhere, you're listening to Alliance for the Brave, bringing education, information, and communication to all of those who have served, veterans, active duty, military, and first responders. And we're heard from sea to shining sea on the USA Radio Network, around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network, live streaming on Facebook and AllianceForTheBrave.com. I'm Jim Blythe, U.S. Navy veteran, Vietnam Extension Branch, and certified senior advisor. And with me today, my buddy in crime and or evil, the greatest, greatest co-host you could have in Dallas, Ron Abrams, U.S. Army veteran. Ron, good morning. How are you?
Outstanding, sir. Outstanding. And yourself?
I am terrific. What a beautiful day.
Indeed. Traffic was even kind to me today, you know. So
hey, what are you doing for Father's Day tomorrow?
My son spoke to me yesterday, asked me what I wanted to do, and I'm comfortable with just sitting and watching a movie with them, but they like my barbecue too much. So looks as though we're going to do some barbecuing tomorrow at the park.
Oh, boy. Yeah. My son and I took a plane and flew up around Oklahoma, and I did some practice. I'm getting current again, and that was terrific. And then my dad and I and my youngest son are having lunch today. So
very good.
We kind of took care of that early. Okay. You've got a very special guest today. I really enjoyed meeting him. Why don't you go ahead and introduce your guest and let's get started, because what we're talking about is critically important.
Well, as a matter of fact, along the subject of importance is homelessness. And right now, there are a lot of organizations that are getting together, they're banding together, they're coming together with ideas, collaborations, and Military Veteran Peer Network is one organization that is doing just that. And big shout out to LeJohn McDonald, who is responsible for today's guest, as a matter of fact. He recommended that he come on and share what his organization is bringing to the fore. And I'm talking about none other than Hilliard Ward, who is a veteran himself. And I'm going to let Hilliard introduce himself, give us a little bit about his background, and then a little bit about your background when it comes to your organization. But I wanted to make sure that, Jim, was there any other announcements that you wanted?
I can't wait to get Hilliard rocking. Hey, by the way, he was a major.
Yes, now, yes.
And you were enlisted, and I was enlisted.
Yes.
So do we have to stand up and salute when he comes in the room?
No, but I will give him his kudos, because he crossed over, as they say. There's a lot of aspirations to become officers from enlisted ranks, and that's exactly what our guest has done today. But let's let him tell it. Welcome to the show.
Well, it's an honor and a pleasure to be here with such fine gentlemen here this morning here. And my name is Hilliard Wade, Jr., and I am a 27-year Army veteran, retired as a major, honorable, Chemical Corps, HUA.
HUA.
And,
air assault.
And I was prior enlisted. My time, as for my aspiration to become an officer, I attended Alcorn State University, got commissioned as a second lieutenant. I completed my undergraduate degree at Mississippi Valley State University, HBC, Historical Black University. And I am peer support with the MBNPN. I work with Mr. LeJohn.
Yeah.
Definitely kudos out to him. And also, I work as a program support assistant with the Fort Worth Homeless Veterans Program. So I have an insight as to what we face today as working with the veterans. Because one thing about it, as veterans here, we bring a lot to the table, especially we have an understanding of the needs. And there's a lot of organizations out there that work, but one thing about it, what my organization is, New Birth Missionary Baptist Church. We are in the development of a homeless outreach program. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel. We're just going to grease the wheel with more because we need communication, collaboration with other organizations out there for us to work together, because there are thousands, even millions of veterans out there that are homeless, and we need to address that issue.
I'm going to explain to everyone why there's so much, electricity in the room. We were able to speak at length before the show, just getting to know each other a little bit better and things of that nature. But if you've noticed, a lot of us have different accents. I actually grew up in Akron, Ohio, so I've got that Midwestern, no accent at all type thing.
But a Hilliard, Yankee.
Yeah. Well,
a Yankee.
We used to be
really.
Yankees. We're called visitors now. We're visitors. But Hilliard, you're originally from Mississippi.
Yes, I'm originally from Mississippi.
And we were talking about how that the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? It was filmed, well, a lot of the names of the cities that you hear, Itabinga,
yes,
or Itabina,
mm-hmm,
Tishmingo,
uh-huh,
things of that nature.
Panterburn.
Yes, Panterburn. But I learned that a lot of those towns, a lot of those cities were named, or the names remained after the names of the Indians that lived there, right?
Yes. Many of the towns in Mississippi have their origin is in within our Native Americans, and as those names have stayed with those towns throughout the centuries. Okay, I mean throughout the centuries.
Yes.
It has stayed there. And my hometown is Greenville, Mississippi. I'm in the Delta, which is the flatland. And another hometown that my wife is from is from Mound Bayou, Mississippi. It was the first
Mound Bayou,
Mississippi. It was okay. The first free black settlement in Mississippi.
Wow.
Huh.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And while everybody thinks that Mississippi is cotton patches, you guys also grow some of the greatest peaches and some of the other really great food. And, man, you know how to cook down there. Woo.
Oh, hey, listen. If you want some real catfish, come on down to the Delta, Mississippi. You'll get it.
Without a doubt. Now, let's go back, if we could, to your involvement in homeless. And how did you get involved with that, Hilliard? Because I think that's a neat story.
Oh, after serving 27 years in the military, I got out, and I was not ready to really retire. And I love, and it's a passion about me, working with soldiers and veterans. And I wanted to go back to that. And I wanted to give something, because one thing about when I was in a leader in the Army, I'm a servant, and I'm here to serve, and I want to continue to serve. And where I work at, we see so many homeless that goes to fight the drugs, addiction, domestic violence, sexual abuse. We see all of this. And there's a lot of organizations out there doing great things. But one thing that I would like for all for we to do, and with my organization, is look at not only the physical needs of the veterans, but we got to look at the holistic need, because homeless is a spiritual thing that we have to face. Even in the Bible, it talks about homeless and what we need to take care of homeless people. And what my organization is, that we are the New Birth Missionary Baptist Church Outreach Program, and also we'll be working along with the MVP program and with LeJohn is part
John
of
McDonald,
that.
Yes.
And also we have, on the VA side of the house, we have the Fort Worth Homeless Veteran Program that I work with. And we bring to the table with various organizations our insight, the outreach, what we need to get out into community. All community organizations that focus on homeless, I understand there's a lot of grant money, but we can all come together and to work together in a collaborative effort. Communication, instead of being just exclusive, let's be inclusive, bring everyone to the table. And this is about, because we got the same mindset, right, for the fight in the war on homeless.
Right.
That's what we need to do together.
I can appreciate your vision. You seem to have a strategic plan. Are you bringing a lot of your military experience into this as far as the program management and things of that nature?
Oh,
is
yes,
that what I'm
is.
Hearing right now?
Yes, because prior to that, I work as a S3, which in terms of operation training.
Yes.
That's what I bring to the table. And right now, I'm in the process of developing a proposal for the outreach program for my church. And this is going to look at not only what is the mission statement, who is the target organization, what is the media tools that we look, such as this right here. This is one of the tools we employ to get out to the various organizations that, yes, we are here. We want to be part. Come to us, or we come to you. Getting together with civic leaders, Fort Worth the Police Department, Fort Worth Fire Department, all these organizations is pre-existing, but we got to get together.
Very good.
I think it's critically important. But remember, guys, I'm Navy, you're Army. Mm-hmm. My philosophy is that a rising tide raises all ships.
Outstanding.
And so one of the things that I believe is while we are addressing the needs of homeless veterans, I think we also should be working towards integrating and inclusive to address the needs of homeless, period. One of the things that I've observed, and for instance, Ron, you and I went through a program at the Veterans Resource Center that we talked about last week, the COPE program, to understand poverty and the frustration and all of those emotional issues, which bring about a level of helplessness and hopelessness, that all of a sudden it becomes very demeaning and very devaluing and very an experience that really breaks people down. So what I like is the idea that you're talking about having a church organization to lift people up, having a church organization to help them get out of that mindset and move towards a position. Because one of the things that I think is also true, when you have a really weak link in a chain, when you have a really weak link in an economy, when you have a really weak link, I'm having a hard time talking this morning, in a fabric of your culture within a municipal area, it hurts everything. So when you can lift up and help people get out of that hopelessness, get out of that homelessness, and lift all of that up, I think you make great changes. Now, you talked when we were talking before about your involvement with the prison system and how you – so you got down to probably, I would think, the most deepest grassroots, bottom to the core. Because those prisoners, when they get out, the integration back into society, I think is horrible.
Yes.
And I think there's some parallels to our military. Can you expand on that a little bit, Hilliard?
One thing about it is that when I work with Mississippi Department of Correction, and I work as an academic teacher, one, and I worked as my specialty was in reintegration classes. One thing about it, once, and it's in reintegration for prisoners / reintegration for homeless veterans, once they leave the homeless program, we need to teach them life skills. Not only say, hey, what are you going to do 5 years for day, 3 to 5 years day? What is your life plan? What is the treatment plan that you, how is your finances going? Because one thing about it, people, places, and situations will get the person that went through the homeless program back on the streets again. So that's what we face now, and we have to change the mindset. We face a, it's a mindset, it's a spirit within those individuals that you we must defeat. Because what we face, if we don't address that, we look at a recidivism, going back over and over and again.
Yes, there's
and
that word, recidivism.
And we got to defeat that word.
Well, let me see if I can relate to that, because for about 15 years off and on, I developed and I taught a program in a halfway house for teenagers coming out of the Texas juvenile system. And I wrote a book called Planning to Change. And what I saw was they didn't have the basic skills of understanding how to plan for their daily activities, how to plan for success. And most of that is because many of these young men came from fatherless backgrounds.
Yes.
So what I saw, they didn't have the example. We developed then a planning program, and I'm going to give you a copy of that book.
Outstanding.
And I think these are the things that we need to be addressing. So, Ron, I tell you what let's do. Let's continue this conversation when we come back for break from our partners and really focus in on the things that need to be done and that we want to get behind and help end homelessness in this cycle. It's also a cycle of helplessness that is causing 22 veterans a day to lose their life.
Yes.
So this is Jim Blythe with Ron Abrams, the great Ron Abrams, and we've got Hilliard Wade, and we're here talking about homelessness, so we'll be right back after these words from all of our partners. And Chris Campbell, thank you for all you're doing for us as our engineer.
1160 AM KBDT proudly presents this historic salute to Grapevine, Texas. Brought to you by the Spice and Tea Exchange at 319 South Main Street. In mid-November of 1845, settlers from Missouri, the Archibald Leonard family, B.J. and Hiram Crowley, Ambrose Foster, and the family of Judge Jacob Moorhead settled near Lonesome Dove. 2 years later, the Lonesome Dove Baptist Church was established south of Judge Moorhead's place near Grapevine.
I'm Nancy McBrayer for the Spice and Tea Exchange. We started in Fort Worth and just really loved the Grapevine area. We wanted to capture the folks that were from Dallas that came to the stockyards that said, oh, this is so far for us. And Grapevine is such a beautiful area. We decided that that was a perfect place for our second location.
Grapevine, Texas, a world festival and event city. Find out more about Grapevine by going to www.grapevinetexas.gov.
I'm Nancy McBrayer for the Spice and Tea Exchange.
Step back in time. Visit historic Grapevine, Texas today.
Hi, I'm Jim Blythe, certified senior advisor. I've been working with seniors for 10 years in Texas and Oklahoma, helping them with financial issues, home finance, helping them to restructure their life. Save their home, save the farm, that's what I do. I teach them, I help them, and I work with them. You can look me up on jimblythe.net or you can call me at 214-502-4600. That's 214-502-4600.
The American Red Cross, the Dallas Baptist Men, Community Emergency Response Teams, the Salvation Army. To that list, add the RLA Scouts. Founded in the ashes of 9/11, the RLA Scouts provide agile, well-trained, certified, and vetted first response personnel available to police and fire rescue at a moment's notice. And we need you. Whether you help fund the mission or join the mission, consider the RLA Scouts. Visit their website now and make a tax-deductible donation. RLAscouts.org. The RLA Scouts, the next rescue resource for Texas.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
You have to sell your gorgeous but suddenly unaffordable house. Now, who will buy it? These guys buy. You have to sell your mom and dad's old rundown house. Now, who will buy it? These guys buy. You have to sell your crazy Aunt Zelda's house. You know, the one with all the cats. These guys buy. Taj Mahal, these guys buy. Old musty dump, these guys buy. Just plain ugly, these guys buy. Sell your property now. As is, no fees, no repairs, no waiting. Theseguysbuy.com, theseguysbuy.com, theseguysbuy.com.
You're listening to Alliance for the Brave, honoring, serving, and empowering those who have served in the line of duty. Today's program is presented by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Learn more about our mission and how you can plug in with us at AllianceForTheBrave.com. And now, back to the conversation on Alliance for the Brave.
And good morning. Thank you for tuning in into today's program, Alliance for the Brave. I'm Ron Abrams, District Outreach Coordinator for the Texas Veterans Commission, along with our illustrious host, Jim Blythe, who's certified senior advisor. And thanks to LeJohn McDonald from Military Veteran Peer Network for our guest today, Mr. Hilliard Wade. He is former military, retired major, started out enlisted and then crossed over the burning sands, as it were, and became a major. And he's here to talk about his program when it comes to dealing with the homelessness. And Mr. Wade, I just want to thank you again for coming on the show today. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, gentlemen, for having me.
Now, I did mess up on your name originally. I apologize for that. But speaking of names, you gave us a word called recidivism.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people aren't familiar with that. But when it comes to homelessness, when it comes to the law, veterans, you know, justice-involved veterans, recidivism just means a habit or a ritual that you find yourself falling back into. And that's what we're trying to stop. We're trying to stop that recidivism when it comes to homelessness and the law.
One thing about recidivism, we have to target the mindset, because if you're in the habit of doing something a specific way always the time, no matter what home you stay in, what how many funds we put into the project, there's always that mindset. So we got to fight recidivism. And one of the ways that we can fight recidivism is the development of life skills. What skills you do? All right, in this particular situation, you got angry. You did something wrong. Okay, guess what? You don't want need to do that. Why? Because this is where it put you here before. So we have to break that cycle of the mindset, because people become comfortable with habits.
Yes.
And once they become with habits, that is their comfort zone. So we have to break that, because we got to get the homeless from that cycle of recidivism back into becoming productive citizens within our society.
So a lot of them don't even see their situation. They're just surviving. They're just waking up looking to make it through the next day.
They want to make it to the next day, the next hour. They just want to make it, and that's all it is. But then again, once we take them out of that lifestyle and put in a lifestyle where there's responsibility, those things are alien to them, and they become afraid. And one of the things, to be afraid of success or actually doing something right, something actually going forth and becoming that person that you was before. Because one thing the program that I'm part of, and Fort Worth Homeless Veteran Program, the program director is Mrs. Artie Williams. She does an excellent job. And we have some excellent outreach programs out there. And Shannon Rufus, she's part of the outreach process. So they do a great job of getting veterans into the program. But one thing we do, once you get the veteran in the program, we got to change the mindset, life skill classes, substance abuse, these things. And not only it's open for veterans, there are programs that out there that exist that include not only veterans, but people that face other that are homeless. So when you talk about the war on homeless, that's and not only include veterans, but not exclude those people out there, because we have many people that go into military sexual trauma. There's many people that have been abused, domestic violence, domestic abuse. There's all out there. They are part of our target population. That's our target population right there. And though homeless individuals and families, let's talk about their families.
Yes,
let's not forget them. They are important there. That's the foundation, right? We have so many homeless families out there that's living day to day.
As a reminder, Jim, the training that we went through last week with CORE.
Yeah, wasn't that great?
Yes. One of the statistics that I remember they shared with us was that the families that are homeless is usually a single parent mm-hmm. with two children, and the most amount of money that they're bringing in is around, roughly $25,000 a year. And majority of that is coming from their SSI mm-hmm. or maybe some type of service-connected disability from the military. Mm-hmm. But it takes at least $61,000 for a single parent, two children, to survive out here. So they're really going through out there as a homeless family.
Yeah, and when we got the veterans come in, and the veteran with kids, with families. And also those people that's not non-veteran that have the same situation and they face. So we got to be able to not only address the individual need, but you address the family need. Because one thing where I work, what hurts me the most is to see a mother with 4 and 5 kids.
Yes.
Out there on 1518 East Lancaster, it's like 104 degrees. It's cold. It's hot. That really hurts me. So let's address the family. So let's our goals, all agency goals that serve the homeless in there, develop and maintain the structure of the family. Because believe that a child will only remember the last person will only remember the last time that he or she was treated well, and that goes a long way. Especially keeping the family together. Families, especially, should be a priority for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt, Hilliard. And to go back to what you're talking about, one of the things I found in working with young men in the Texas prison system, that recidivism rate was 87%. That meant 87% of those kids ended back in the adult prison system. And one of the reasons I believe that happened was they had no goal. They had no plan. They had no way to get out. They were like a ship floundering in the ocean without a rudder. And so what I like about what you're talking about is building those life skills, building that back to give them hope, give them direction, and help them get on the way. So I tell you what, we're going to be right back after this word from all of our partners. We've got Hilliard Wade joining Ron Abrams and I on Alliance for the Brave.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. President Trump's former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, is now locked up in a jail in Warsaw, Virginia, just 90 miles south of Washington. His ankle bracelets were revoked amid allegations of witness tampering from special counsel Robert Mueller. He faces trial for various charges, including failing to register as a foreign agent. Manafort and his Russian business partner, Konstantin Kalimnik, allegedly asked European contacts to testify that their lobbying work did not take place in the U.S. Judge Amy Berman Jackson told Manafort's attorney, "This is not middle school. I can't take his cell phone. I have no appetite for this." Manafort will now remain in jail until his trial concludes later this year. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from Resort Release, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get rid of their expensive timeshares. Once you've made that decision to get rid of your timeshare for any reason, Resort Release is offering a Better Business Bureau accredited way to legally get rid of your timeshare guaranteed. We guarantee to get rid of your timeshare payments permanently. Even if you've tried another company to get rid of your expensive timeshare, call now and see if we can help you. At Resort Release, you don't pay anything until you're ready. If you're ready to learn how to permanently get rid of your costly timeshare, make this complimentary free call right now.
800-455-7967. 800-455-7967. 800-455-7967. That's 800-455-7967.
Oh, we're okay? Okay.
So okay. We're back then. All right.
Oh, we're back?
Our engineer just brought us back. We had some technical difficulties on the other end with when it comes to the screening here on the computer. But you are listening to...
Hey, that way they know it's live.
Well, there
brother.
We go. Yes. what better way to do it, right?
Well, I tell you what, though. It's always a little unnerving when your engineer starts jumping up and down and waving, and you go, "What?" Okay, let's come back because we've got a really great opportunity to talk to Hilliard Wade. Hilliard, you were an Army major.
Yes, sir.
You went to college. You grew up down in Mississippi, but you were heavily involved in the Fort Worth Outreach Program for Homelessness. Tell us a little bit about your church and how they are getting involved in that.
Well, I'm a member of New Birth Missionary Baptist Church. The pastor is Pastor Harold Ford. And one day he approached us and he looked at it and he said, "You know what? We got a lot of veterans in the community that we are not doing nothing about. We need to stop this. We need to stop this. We need to become involved within the program. We need to become part of the community." Because one thing, church organizations tend to be exclusive to themselves, okay, and forget about the surrounding community. So we are reaching out to the surrounding community and the agencies that's out there pre-existing. So this is what we have to offer, and we want to be part of that. We want to give something, because one of the things, when you look at homeless, the persons The organization that knows a lot about homeless is the police department, the Social Security department, these agents in the fire department, because they encounter these individuals. So we got to reach out with them. Where are these people located? What can we do? But the first thing, let's take care of their primary need: food, clothing, give them that. Then you start to look at the whole person, set, the holistic approach to it, the spiritual approach to it. But first, take care of their basic needs. And the person that's home is going to ask you, what do you have to offer me? What do we have to offer them? What can we do them? Because one thing, many homeless people do not trust the system because they have fell through the crack. Homeless people, homeless individuals, and the homeless population today is the invisible people of America. People don't see them.
Right.
They don't want to see them.
Or they just turn, they turn their blind eye.
Mm-hmm.
But one
let me tell you guys an interesting story. And I don't know if this is true, but I heard this story many years ago of a Baptist church down in Austin, and very formal, coat and tie, whole nine yards. Mm-hmm. This young man walked into the sanctuary before the service, kind of in rags, smelly, long hair, walked down the aisle. Everybody kind of pushed so that he wouldn't sit next to them. So he walked in and sat down at the front of the church. And then here comes the senior elder of the church, coat and tie, comes down, gets down to where the young man is sitting down, takes off his tie, takes off his shoes, sits down on the floor with him, and said, "Let's worship together." Now, the story that I heard, and I really don't know, is that young man, in the way that man reached out to him, mm-hmm. not with a hand out, but with a hand up, mm-hmm. lifted him up, and is my understanding he is now one of the most prolific ministers and writers in the United States. I can't verify that story, but it makes a great story. And that's what you're talking about, Hilliard. Not a hand out, but a hand up. You've got to be able to get their basic needs to where they're not scared to death, and then get them focused on a plan to move up. So it's a hand up, not a hand out. And it's a way to say, we're here for you.
And another thing, too, is that what I do on my volunteer base on at Halton City Library, I teach a PTSD class the second and the fourth Monday of each month. And we have veterans, we talk about PTSD. What is the mindset? What are you facing? How are we able? What affects your decision-making skills? You're no longer in the combat zone. You're here. Helping you to relate to your family members. Helping you to open up. This is that, because once you have PTSD, it's a part of your DNA for life. And you're always in recovery. And that's what, and peer support is one of the main things, one of the greatest things that the MVP program does. And always give my kudos to Mr. LeJohn.
Yeah.
So we are part of that war on homeless. They got a lot of events coming up, and we are just getting out and letting the veteran know that we are here for you. Come to us, okay? And not only come to us, we have peer support to go out in the community and find veterans, okay, and bring them into the Fort Worth Homeless Program. So instead of just staying in one place, let's expand. Let's reach out. Let's reach out together, because we can actually do this together. It's a team effort, not just exclusive, but inclusive of everyone, because we bring a lot to the table. It's out there. We have funds. There are funds and resources and training, understanding. We have that to offer, and we can do this.
I think that's the message that we need to get out there, is inclusive and pulling together. Yes, there are elements. Yes, there are some people. But I think one of the biggest problems we've got to overcome, in which you're alluding to, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, is more or less the mental health aspects of it, which without a doubt, I think mental health in the United States is probably one of the most ignored things. That's just my personal opinion. So what you're talking about is so strong. And when you talk about the family and keep the family together, man, that's where a lot of this comes from what I observed in working with young men in the Texas juvenile prison system, is their role models, their examples were non-existent.
Mm. Well, besides the television and radio and entertainment, That's a big distractor for not only homeless, but American society as a whole. And we're being influenced by what we're seeing on television and what we're listening to on the radio, the types of songs, the types of music, the types of lyrics, how people are being portrayed as a family on television. So we have a lot of barriers to overcome and sometimes just to reevaluate in order just to make it in this world. But our homeless right now need our help, and we've got great organizations such as this to come on the show. I wanted to ask you, we have a lot of community partners, and there's people out there that want to assist. Mm-hmm. How can they get a hold of you? Is there a phone number? Is there a website we can go to or anything?
Okay,
like
my phone number is 662-695-0828. And also, if you call my number, I also will give you also the number to our pastor, Pastor Harold Ford. He's the minister, and we talked together, and we came up with this. And another thing, too, is that we want people to come in. We want different types of skill sets to come in because that makes it much better for us. And makes it much better, not only for us, but I'm talking about the homeless. But I'm going to tell you something about the homeless. Homeless people will teach you a lot about yourself.
Boy, no kidding.
They will teach you about your personality, your attitude toward them. They will teach, and each day I work at the Fort Worth Homeless Veteran Program on 1518 East Atlantic, I learn a lot about my personality, learn about myself and how to deal with people. And and that's one thing about it. Not everyone can go out there and work with the homeless population.
But those that do, what is the approach? What should be our attitude when we approach a person who's homeless, though?
Non-judgmental. Empathy, compassion, trust, develop a rapport, because they need that. If I can trust you, I will listen to you. Be able to share a part of your life. Share a part of your life with them. Because one case in point, we had a veteran that got upset because someone moved his stuff. I told him about my story. I said, hey, when I came back for Iraq, I was in Mississippi. This guy moved my stuff on the counter at a store. I got really, really mad. And a guy behind me touched my shoulder. He said, brother, are you all right? I looked around. I said, yes. That was PTSD. I didn't even know it. And I related to him. I told him, that's my story. And he said, I understand. So you must be able to share a part of your life. Be non-judgmental. Offer empathy. And it's just like that, enable them to do for themselves. We're not going to do everything for you, but you need to develop the skill set. And in many times that many young men, back to what you said earlier, come back to prisons because it's a structured atmosphere, and they find father figures, they find people that's in control, that show leadership. Those are the things that they did not get in their home. Now they get into the prison system. They don't need that in the prison system. They need it in society itself. And so we got to develop that further than. We got to show the leadership skill, the father figure. This is the positive role model that you need to have. We got to show our young men, because if we don't show that, guess what? They are coming back into the system. And that leads to a loss of family. That father figure that in, because a lot of shows today portray the father figure as being inadequate, stupid, and silly. No, that is not true.
Well, without a doubt. Hilliard, by the way, are you familiar, and I cannot think of the names, and I may not say the title right, but there was a book that was turned into a movie about a homeless man in Fort Worth. I believe the book was Same as Just Like Me.
I'm familiar with that.
Okay, and it was about a guy in Dallas and his wife, and how his wife went over to Fort Worth and reached out to this homeless man. Different races, different backgrounds, and there was, you know, a lot of animosity, but over time, a trust was built up, and the wife ended up dying of cancer. Well, the both men, who came from totally different backgrounds, gained a tremendous insight and became lifelong friends. And there was a movie made about that. And if somebody could send me an email or a Facebook and correct me, I think it's Same as Just Like Me was the name of the book. And I cannot think of the names of the players, but the businessman was here in Dallas and the homeless man was in Fort Worth. Mm-hmm. And it was such a compelling story about what you're talking about is building trust and building a relationship. And I think that's one of the biggest things. One of the things that I talk to the kids in the halfway house about is their countenance. And what Ron and I talk about a lot is first impressions.
Yes.
And how you only get one chance. And so how when you're meeting somebody, putting that best foot forward, be compelling, finding something with which you can relate to each other about, and suddenly with that, you now have rapport. I do that in my work with seniors. And, you know, one of the biggest things that I see is a lot of seniors, a lot of veterans, and a lot of homeless have one thing in common. Guys, they don't know. And when I say that, you can look at me and go, what do you mean they don't know? They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to get help. And many times they're lost in areas of hopelessness, believe it or not.
And one of the things they face is with the system itself, they have been turned down. They have been demeaned. They have been looked down upon. And at the point, they just give up on the system itself. And they say, you know what? Instead of this hurting me so much, I will take to the streets and I will live like this here. But one thing about it, we have to make sure that instead of just looking at homeless people as numbers, as funds, as grant, they are individual. And I will say this, and this is to me, this is true to me. Everyone is one paycheck from being homeless.
Especially in America. You're right.
Oh, boy. Let me tell you, I can relate to that. And Hilliard, one of the things, Diane and I, my wife, and she's taking care of her mom right now, but Diane and I participated with Susie Jennings in the biggest Christmas party for Jesus every year that's held at the K. Bailey Hutchinson Convention Center. And they expected, and I don't know how many people they had, but I think it was about 20,000, and they expected about 4,000 to 5,000 homeless veterans came through there. And so they had things, and I sat down and met some of them. And, yeah, sometimes it's real hard. Sometimes it's really hard to have an engaging conversation because they look at me and they go, well, you're dressed nice, you know, you've got a job, you've got a family, and you're not homeless. But there is a factor of our humanity, of our looking at each other in the eye and saying, hey, I want to get to know you. And that's what you're talking about with the new Missionary Baptist Church, bringing that to the table of that inclusiveness. I love that word. That is really important. And then the program. So what you guys are talking about is developing programs which will reintegrate, which will include everybody in giving a training and a helping hand up. Is that an easy way to summarize it, Hilliard?
Yes, that is it. And one thing about it, we want to not only take care of your basic needs, but we're going to move forward and take care of your spiritual needs. And the Bible talked to us about the homeless. And not only just a homeless. Homeless is a mission. It's a mission. It's a missionary work. It's a mission that you go out. And the priority of effort for that is meeting the needs of the homeless. Get past funds and grants. Focus on the homeless persons and the families, because many people out there are homeless for various reasons which you don't know of. But as you develop that rapport, as you develop that trust and relationship, you begin to understand that. Why are you homeless? Stuff like, what happened to you? I was using drugs for the last 17 years. That's why I'm here today. I was sexually abused by my father. I work on the street. I sell. I'm a prostitute to take drugs to forget that I'm homeless.
Self-medication, Hilliard.
Self-medication for the life that you live in.
Well, I tell you what, this conversation is fabulous. I'm thoroughly
Indeed.
Enjoying it. And if you want to, you can go to our Facebook Live and join us. You can get this podcast on Alliance for the Brave, where we post not only these shows, but a lot of information to help veterans and to help people. We're going to be right back to conclude this program talking with Hilliard Wade. I'm Jim Blythe with the great
Ron Abrams.
And we've got Hilliard Wade talking about homelessness. So we'll be right back after these words from all of our partners. Thank you for joining in Alliance for the Brave. We're here to serve you every day, and especially on Saturday.
AM KBDT proudly presents this historic salute to Grapevine, Texas, brought to you by Grapevine Antique Market. In 1866, the Grapevine Masonic Lodge is organized. J.W. Dunn is the first worshipful master. In 1867, they decide to build a school. Pine lumber is hauled by ox teams over 150 miles from the mills in East Texas. School begins in September of 1869. Colonel W.P. Bishop is principal. The school remains open until 1886.
Hi, I'm Brandon Cantrell with Grapevine Antique Market. We sell vintage items, antiques, and a lot of current decorative items. Very cool. My husband lived here when I got married 33 years ago. It's a small town feeling, although it's not that small anymore. I've just gotten to know Grapevine, and I have lots of friends here, and I like it.
Grapevine, Texas, a world festival and event city. Find out more about Grapevine by going to www.grapevinetexas.gov. Step back in time. Visit historic Grapevine, Texas today.
Do you know someone who has a drinking problem or drug addiction? Well, you know what comes next. If you or someone close to you has a bad drinking or drug problem and they have private health insurance, free help may be available. Call a recovering addiction specialist now at the Detox and Treatment Helpline. They'll help you get clean and sober and give you a total rehab in a beautiful 5-star treatment facility. It's like a vacation, but a clean vacation. If you have private health insurance, quitting drugs, quitting alcohol, and getting sober is just a free call away. Sorry, we don't accept Medicare or Medicaid. Make this free, confidential call now before someone dies.
800-915-9734. 800-915-9734. 800-915-9734. 800-915-9734.
Hi, I'm Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor. I've been working with seniors for 10 years in Texas and Oklahoma, helping them with financial issues, home finance, helping them to restructure their life. Save their home, save the farm, that's what I do. I teach them, I help them, and I work with them. You can look me up on jimblythe.net or you can call me at 214-502-4600. That's 214-502-4600.
I'm heading off for vacation in a few weeks, and you know, I'm really excited to have some time off, some extra good sleep, but then I get extra good sleep because of my pillow. So if you're craving that vacation kind of sleep, you know, you can get it at home anytime with a MyPillow. Now, one of the nicest things about the MyPillow, it stays cool all night long. You don't have to flip the silly thing over to the cooler side. It's always cool, and it keeps its shape all night long, so you don't have to wake up in the middle of the night to fluff the pillow up, make it nice. Just order a MyPillow with promo code USA. You're going to get 50% off a 4-pack of pillows. That's 2 MyPillow premium pillows, custom fit for you, and 2 go-anywhere pillows. Again, use promo code USA to get 50% off. These pillows come with an amazing 60-day money-back guarantee, a 10-year warranty, 100% machine washable and dryable, and made in the USA. Go to MyPillow.com, scroll to the radio 4-pack special, enter promo code USA, or call 800-951-8175. 800-951-8175. Promo code USA.
Today's program is brought to you by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Visit us on Facebook or join the conversation by calling 214-810-TALK. That's 214-810-8255. And now, back to Alliance for the Brave.
And we are back. Thank you for holding through the break. I'm Ron Abrams, District Outreach Coordinator for the Texas Veterans Commission. And also on our show today, Mr. Jim Blythe, who is regionally known as a senior advisor. Highly recommend you take notes, especially during our next program, because you're going to hear commercials on his particular program as well. I also like to thank Mr. LaJohn McDonald for our guest today. LaJohn McDonald is a program manager over at the Military Veteran Peer Network, and he is responsible for our great guest today, Mr. Hilliard Wade.
And Major.
That's right. Former military, right? Retired, major. Started out enlisted ranks and retired as a major, and now he's doing some great things for the homeless in the Fort Worth area. So, again, thank you for coming on the show today, sir. Thank you.
All right. Glad to be here among you great gentlemen.
Hilliard, just a quick question, which kind of has little or nothing to do with what we're talking about, but you were an enlisted man in the Army, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And did the officers, did what you saw inspire you? So you went back to college using your VA bill? Is that what you did?
Yes. One day I was going back to college. I was going to be a nurse. A guy that was in ROTC stopped me, asked me what I was doing. They already knew I was prior enlisted. And he told me about the program. And for that, he was a member of Omega Sci-Fi, which I'm not. And he told me about that. And I said, okay, let me check it out. And guess what? Rest became history. I enjoyed it. And it's a process, but I learned leadership. And I learned one thing about a leader. I learned to be a servant. And I like to serve. And that's why I'm here today, to serve, to give back that so many have given unto me, unknown and known. And I had some great drill sergeant that abused me.
Well, they didn't really abuse you, but they sure motivated you, didn't they?
Well, it's not abuse. I'll take that back. It was great motivation, and guess what? And even today, I mean, I can recall all the names, but I just thanked them.
Boy, let me tell you.
And I thank the great NCOs that I work with that made me. An officer does not make an officer. NCOs make officers. Huh.
Yeah, well, I could tell you a great story about mine. But, you know, what it really boils down to is you are what you think about. And you've got a scriptural verse that says that.
Yeah, it basically says, whatsoever a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So basically, whatever you're concentrating on, whatever you're thinking about all day, you actually become that. More importantly, you become like those you hang around. So if you're thinking negatively and you're hanging around negative people, guess what's going to happen?
And that's a big problem. So what you're doing with New Missionary Baptist Church in Fort Worth is you're coming in, Hilliard, to give them a new perspective, give them training, give them integration into being productive and being accomplishing. Matter of fact, I think no greater accomplishment can be bestowed on somebody than to hand them a paycheck and say a job well done.
Yes, and the program that we started at the church is in the development phase right now, and it is scheduled to be launched around about 2018. But the purpose overall is knowing the mission, the war on homeless, giving them a holistic approach, taking care of the elementary needs, and then we will focus on the spiritual need, because homeless is not just about environment. It's about what's inside a person, the spirit, to change this concept that I'm homeless and forever. And another thing, too, is that to the young people out there, if you're not doing anything for the summer, you're not working at McDonald's or anything like that, volunteer for a homeless program. Not only that, it increase you not on your personality, spiritually, it'll add to your resume, because being a volunteer goes a lot. When you apply for jobs, college applications.
Scholarship,
excellent. And, you know, the word homeless is not just with adults, but it with kids. They need to see this here. And sometimes one thing about it, always a young lady did this once. She took her son out. He was acting up. She took him down to 15, 18. She said, all right, if you want to act that way and you leave the house, this is where you will be.
Wow. I got to interrupt you. I'm laughing because my eldest son, when he was, I guess, about 10 or 11 or 12, he made a bad mistake. His mother thought I was going to pound him into the ground. I took him down to the bridges in near downtown Dallas and said, if you continue this behavior, this is where you're going to be. So I tell you what let's do. Let's wrap this up. Hilliard Wade with the New Missionary Baptist Church, thank you for being on board. Hopefully you'll stick around.
Yes, I will.
Okay, and Ron Abrams, we're going to be coming back in a minute with Colonel John Antal talking about the situation in North Korea. He has more knowledge about that than anybody I know. So this is Jim Blythe. We'll be right back after this word from our partners with Colonel John Antal on Alliance for the Brave.
News, talk, weather, sports. This is 1160 AM KBDT, Highland Park, Dallas, Fort Worth. Big D Talk. The news starts now.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The White House says President Trump could support an immigration bill put forward by moderate House Republicans, a bill that would provide a path to citizenship for so-called dreamers. After the president's earlier statement saying he opposed a moderate immigration bill, the White House walked back his remarks, saying he would sign either of the two bills that Republicans are working on. One is a hard right proposal. The other is a compromise plan drafted by the GOP's conservative and moderate wings. The moderate bill would mandate that children would not be separated from families entering the U.S. illegally. New York Cardinal Timothy Dolan tells our lawmakers to stop arguing and agree on a measure that works.
You bet we got some cold laws that need to be enforced in a very prudent, just way. We also need a good dose of the heart.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allen Root. Healthcare in this country is a disaster. Health insurance is completely unaffordable and it covers very little. But there's a better way. I'm living proof. I've joined myself. I'm a Liberty HealthShare member. Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Everyone loves liberty. Our rights come from God, not from government. Liberty believes people should make decisions for themselves and their families. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. You have the freedom to direct your health care, not to be dictated to by big government or insurance company bureaucrats. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Exercise your freedom. Join Liberty Health Share. Do it today. There are no windows, no limited enrollment period, no penalties. You can join Liberty Health Share at any time, 365 days a year. I did. My family is a member. Call Liberty toll-free at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information. That's 855-58-LIBERTY or online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
The retaliation for President Trump's tariffs on Chinese imports has been swift. Beijing announcing $34 billion worth of tariffs on U.S. goods, including soybeans, electric cars, and whiskey. Ak Erland is an analyst at China Policy Consultancy.
They have done their calculations, been preparing for years. They've looked through different scenarios, especially they've gone through the history of Japan and the Plaza Accord back in the 1980s. And they have tried to cover the loopholes, like their overseas investments.
The drums are beating in Chicago. They are chanting, "No more guns," during the first stop of the Road to Change tour. Students from Florida's Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School calling for stricter gun laws and hoping to register young people to vote in the fall midterms. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The sexual misconduct allegations against a longtime TV journalist did not come out overnight. USA's Chris Barnes has the story.
Washington Post investigative reporters Erin Carmen and Amy Brinton were honored on Thursday at the 12th Annual Newhouse School Syracuse University Mirror Awards for their reporting on years of sexual misconduct perpetrated by Charlie Rose. Carmen noted it took 7 years from when she heard the first tip about Rose's sexual misconduct and harassment to when the Post story was published. The awards also honored journalistic work, including investigations by the New York Times and the New Yorker that focused on the Harvey Weinstein story. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The United States is renewing calls for the Cuban government to investigate the source of some 24 attacks on U.S. diplomats. But Cuba again is denying any involvement in the attacks. At a senior-level meeting with Cuban officials in Washington, the State Department says it raised the issue again. At least 24 diplomats have been mysteriously stricken, leaving some with brain damage. Unexplained sounds and vibrations that accompanied the symptoms initially had investigators suspecting that a sonic weapon might have been used. But an interim FBI report said no evidence had been uncovered that sound waves could have damaged the Americans' health. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
Welcome to Alliance for the Brave, a program that advocates for our veterans and first responders. Presented by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Certified Senior Advisor Jim Blythe, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Alliance for the Brave, serving and empowering those who have served in the line of duty with a focus on bringing the core leadership values of honor, duty, and service to our communities. America, let's take action to take care of our brave men and women who have put their lives on the line to serve us nationally and locally. It's time to tune in, join in, and plug in. Welcome to Alliance for the Brave. And now, here's your host, Jim Blythe.
Listening to Alliance for the Brave, bringing education, information, and communication to all of those who have served, veterans, active duty, and first responders, and you're heard from sea to shining sea on the USA Radio Network and around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network, live streaming on Facebook and AllianceForTheBrave.com. I'm Jim Blythe, U.S. Navy veteran, Vietnam Extension Branch, and that was a lot of fun. Certified Senior Advisor joining me today, and he had to step down the hall to get something from his car. Ron Abrams, U.S. Army veteran and the Director of Employment for the North Texas Veterans Commission. Also, I asked Hilliard Wade, U.S. Army Major, to stick around because I've got something I am really looking forward to. I'd like to introduce Colonel John Antall, frequent guest on our programs, very good friend, the seven leadership lessons of D-Day, seven leadership lessons of the American Revolution, great author, great teacher, also very, very, very familiar recently in Korea. Colonel John Antall, I ask you to come on this morning to talk a little bit about what's going on in Korea, North Korea, and how that impacts us. Welcome aboard, Colonel.
Hello, Jim. It's great to be with you today, and hello to all your listeners. First, I'd like to make a shout-out to the United States Army. I know that you're a Navy veteran, but we love all the services. But the United States Army had their birthday on the 14th, just a few days ago. And I had the great honor of celebrating in Fairview the birthday of the United States Army, and we had many people there, and we had 20 enlistees enlist in the United States Army that day, and I was part of that ceremony, which was very stirring and very memorable. So God bless the United States of America and the United States Army, and remember that the birthday of the United States Army, June 14th, is because in 1775, on the 14th of June, when we were a young nation, the first service to be created was the Continental Army. And that's the birthday of the U.S. Army and also Flag Day. So when you think about Flag Day, it's because the United States Army started to carry a flag that eventually became our flag, which brought us independence and liberty.
Oh, without a doubt. Also, Colonel Antall, you teach a lot of leadership to ROTC groups, other groups, businesses. You've been very much involved in leadership, and you led an Army organization in South Korea when you were there, didn't you?
Right. When I was in the United States Army, I had the great honor of serving in Korea on two separate occasions, in the 80s and the 90s. And the first time I was there in 1982 was supposed to be a one-year tour, and I kept getting you know, a very important job, so I stayed till 1985. And the second time I was there, I was a battalion commander of the 2nd Battalion, 72nd Armor, the Dragon Force. And this was a tank-heavy task force, and our job was to repel any Korean attack, North Korean attack, across the demilitarized zone. So I'm very familiar with Korea. I've studied the enemy, the North Koreans, for about 30 years. And now it's very interesting to see the transition where we are reaching out and trying to turn that enemy into at least not a belligerent, and possibly we could have an American-North Korean peace treaty and end the Korean War. Because most people know that the Korean War never ended. We just had an armistice. And an armistice means we'll stop fighting for just now. But there was supposed to be a formal peace treaty that was to be enacted sometime in the future, but those conditions were never met. The North Koreans were always coming south and causing mischief and killing people. And we were always having to defend against that. And so the conditions for that peace treaty was never met because of North Korean belligerency. So here we are with an armistice after all these years, since 1953. So it's very important that the President of the United States reached out and is trying to do two things. One, denuclearize North Korea, because that's the crucial thing. We do not want nuclear weapons hitting the United States of America from a rogue regime. Some people say, well, one nuclear weapon, what could that possibly do? Well, one nuclear weapon could do tremendous devastation against the United States. And if we held that country accountable and we say we will stop them through deterrence, but they are crazy or they are absolutely bent on destruction and deterrence doesn't work, then we have a real problem. So that is one of the reasons why this is being done. And the second is to eventually have a peace treaty instead of an armistice and hopefully do some kind of unification between North and South Korea.
You know, that would be a remarkable thing. That's kind of like David sitting down with Goliath and say, look, let's work on solving this instead of killing each other. That's an unusual approach. But, Colonel, your involvement, and you were recently in North Korea, I think there's so many questions revolving around that. And like so many people, I hear the news, I've tried to read, I don't understand the whole thing. What do you think is the long-term ramifications of this if we don't end up with a peace? And what do you think the ramifications are with the direction we're going, which is to achieve a peace?
Yeah, those are the two very important options. Now, I was just in Korea in December talking to senior leaders in our defense agencies there in Korea, and I was able to go to Panmunjom in the True City, and the place where the armistice talks were held, and also the place where the recent meeting between the North Korean president and the South Korean president took place. And when you're in that truce building, you actually step over into North Korea because there's a little line there. So you go from one to the next, and when you do that, you're surrounded by South Korean guards. So it's a really interesting situation. But to answer your questions, which are critical, the two basic options that can come out, you know, we have a win or a lose, basically. So let's talk about the win. What's interesting in the world is that countries have alliances. China is a rising power in the world and is one of our competitors. They're not an enemy, but they are not a friend. We have to understand that they are still an adversary that is out for their own advantage, and their advantages are antithetical to ours. So they are, in fact, trying to do things that will change the freedom of maneuver in the Southeast Asian seas by creating these islands. They're trying to maneuver their forces and their power in certain ways so that they can dominate not only the Pacific, but more of the world later on. Since they are not a regime of freedom, they are a totalitarian regime. The Chinese leader, Xi, he is basically an emperor for life. And so he has complete and absolute power. And we've talked before on your show about the purposes, about what freedom is. And I define freedom as both the right for the nation to be run by itself. So national freedom, and then political freedom and individual freedom. And in China, they have only national freedom. There's no political freedom for their citizens and no individual freedom. So these are things that we have to be able to work through. Now, North Korea is the only formal ally of China. everyone else around China, all the other countries, Vietnam, all those other countries that are bordering China, even Russia, are very wary of China, and they don't necessarily view China as their friend. And they're in the past, because China has a history of squashing these little countries and taking them over. So they're nervous about that. North Korea is their only former ally. As we make a peace treaty with North Korea, as the Korean chairman Kim Jong-un meets with President Trump, as he just did, that puts a little bit of fear in the Chinese, because they see that as we are breaking off one of their allies. So the Chinese are nervous about that. Now, the North Koreans are nervous because they don't necessarily like the Chinese. They have a history of China taking over North Korea, yet right now North Korea and China have a formal alliance. So they are allied because they're both politically, authoritarian countries. They're both totalitarian countries and supposedly both communist, although the form of North Korean communism is a little bit strange because it's dynastic, when one guy takes over from the next. So for option one, for us to win, we need to set up a situation where the North Korea denuclearizes, give up its nuclear weapons, and to do that, they have to be assured that they're not going to be attacked by us or by China. So we have to give them assurances that we will protect them from that, which is interesting. I mean, I can see a time where Navy SEALs are actually guarding Kim Jong-un, you could imagine.
That is an interesting visual, but right? please carry on.
And so here we are with the possibilities of disrupting our adversaries' alliances by making a outreach to North Korea. And if at all possible, unifying the country, South and North Korea, under some kind of power-sharing agreement initially. And that would bring greater prosperity to North Korea, and it would also, one of our strong points is human rights. So we would want to see the gulag that North Korea has, the thousands of political prisoners that are held in North Korea and that are tortured and killed in most horrific ways. We'd like to see that change. So there's a great opportunity to do good, because if we were to attack North Korea and we have the war, millions of people would die. So we want to avoid that. We want to win without fighting. And this is the way to do it. So diplomacy here has been done very well. All of the noise that you hear on many of the news media outlets that say, oh, President Trump didn't get enough, this is not a good deal, he gave this dictator credibility, all of those things are noise by people who don't have to be in the arena and don't have to make decisions. When you're thinking about millions of lives, South Korean lives, American lives, when you're thinking that if Kim Jong-un, the chairman of North Korea, was to suddenly say, okay, I'm going to launch an attack, and he was to do that, even if he launched it at Korea, thousands of people would die, maybe millions of people would die, depending on where the bomb goes off. There's 25 million people in Seoul, which is a city 35 miles from the DMZ. So if a bomb goes off there, it would kill almost everyone, almost 20 million people. And then you start looking at, you know, the Americans that are there, And the fallout of all that, not just the radioactive fallout, but the concept of what would we do? We're allied with South Korea. We'd have to strike back, and we would strike back in kind. So we would attack North Korea with nuclear weapons. And now you've got a nuclear war happening. So we're avoiding a nuclear war. And by doing this thing, we're doing a great thing for peace. And that's one of the reasons I have a tough time understanding some of the media when they're arguing against peace, because it is always better to talk than fight. Or as Winston Churchill used to say, and he was always a man of great words, he would say, it is better to jaw-jaw than war-war.
Colonel Antal, I kind of wonder if some of the press isn't so horribly biased that if President Trump were to walk across a swimming pool, they would accuse him of water pollution.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's so anti, so divisive. The press is tearing this country apart. And I, for one, am sick of it. But let's go on and talk more then about one of the big advantages for this is the economic uplifting of North Korea. I mean, many of those people that have come into South Korea have tremendous parasite infestations, all kinds of medical issues. What about the psyche of the average person in North Korea? That's going to be a huge cultural change for them to switch from this all-knowing, all-benefactor Kim Jong-un to, you know, a more inclusive. How will that play out?
Well, that's another good question. And if you can recall, most of your listeners may have heard of East and West Germany at one point. Back many years ago, in the late 1970s and 1980s, I was serving in Germany, and Germany was divided into two, and East Germany and West Germany were opposing each other with great armies, and of course the East Germany were all Soviet. And so when that unification happened, huge problems, because people who live under communism for too long have no understanding of how to operate with self-reliance. So it's a huge problem.
I tell you what, let's do. Let's continue this conversation after a word from all of our partners. And people can go to Amazon and get your books, The Seven Leadership Lessons of D-Day, The Seven Leadership Lessons of the Revolutionary War. And when we come back, also, I want to tell people how to get in contact with you if they'd like to have you as a speaker for one of their events. So this is Jim Blythe with Ron Abrams. And I asked Hilliard Wade, Major United States Army, to stay with us as we talk with Colonel John Antal, the expert that I know on North Korea. John, thank you for being on board, and we'll be right back with John after this word from our partners.
AM KBDT proudly presents this historic salute to Grapevine, Texas. Brought to you by the Spice and Tea Exchange at 319 South Main Street. In mid-November of 1845, settlers from Missouri, the Archibald Leonard family, B.J. and Hiram Crowley, Ambrose Foster, and the family of Judge Jacob Moorhead settled near Lonesome Dove. 2 years later, the Lonesome Dove Baptist Church was established south of Judge Moorhead's place near Grapevine.
I'm Nancy McBrayer for the Spice and Tea Exchange. We started in Fort Worth and just really loved the Grapevine area. We wanted to capture the folks that were from Dallas that came to the stockyards that said, oh, this is so far for us. And Grapevine is such a beautiful area. We decided that was a perfect place for our second location.
Grapevine, Texas, a world festival and event city. Find out more about Grapevine by going to www.grapevinetexas.gov.
I'm Nancy McBrayer for the Spice and Tea Exchange.
Step back in time. Visit historic Grapevine, Texas today.
You have to sell your gorgeous but suddenly unaffordable house. Now, who will buy it? These guys buy. You have to sell your mom and dad's old rundown house. Now, who will buy it? These guys buy. You have to sell your crazy Aunt Zelda's house. You know, the one with all the cats. These guys buy. Taj Mahal? These guys buy. Old musty dump? These guys buy. Just plain ugly? These guys buy. Sell your property now. As is, no fees, no repairs, no waiting. TheseguysBuy.com. TheseguysBuy.com. TheseguysBuy.com.
The American Red Cross, the Dallas Baptist Men, Community Emergency Response Teams, the Salvation Army. To that list, add the RLA Scouts. Founded in the ashes of 9/11, the RLA Scouts provide agile, well-trained, certified, and vetted first response personnel available to police and fire rescue at a moment's notice. And we need you. Whether you help fund the mission or join the mission, consider the RLA Scouts. Visit their website now and make a tax-deductible donation. RLAscouts.org. The RLA Scouts, the next rescue resource for Texas.
Hi, I'm Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor. I've been working with seniors for 10 years in Texas and Oklahoma, helping them with financial issues, home finance, helping them to restructure their life. Save their home, save the farm, that's what I do. I teach them, I help them, and I work with them. You can look me up on jimblythe.net or you can call me at 214-502-4600. That's 214-502-4600.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
You're listening to Alliance for the Brave, honoring those who have served in the line of duty. Today's program is presented by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Learn more about our mission and how you can plug in with us at AllianceForTheBrave.com. And now back to the conversation on Alliance for the Brave.
Welcome back. This is Jim Blythe and Ron Abrams, and joining us, Hilliard Wade, Major U.S. Army. We're talking with Colonel John Antall. And John, I wish we could have pulled you into the studio today. It would have been a great discussion. You are the leadership teacher in North Texas, as far as I'm concerned. Also, you are the expert on North Korea. And so if you're joining us, John is talking about Korea. He served over there quite a bit. John, let's go back to the conversation in talking about the cultural change that you see that will happen as North Korea integrates into South Korea. And you were talking about what happened with East and West Germany.
Yeah, Jim, again, thank you very much for having me on your show today, and hello to all your listeners. The question you ask is really important for the unification of Korea. This will never happen fast. It will happen in some kind of staged fashion, and it may take decades, at least years. But you can imagine a culture that has no electricity. Basically, North Korea has very little electricity. They have some during the day, and it's turned off at night. And if you look at a satellite view of North Korea and South Korea and at night, and you see it from like a space station or from a high-orbiting satellite, you'll notice that North Korea is almost dark. So they're a very poor society, and they have some educated folks who are fairly well-educated, but they're living in a world of a communist dynasty where the leader is considered almost a god. So imagine, if you would, this is what happened with Joseph Stalin, who was the totalitarian dictatorship of Soviet Russia back in the 1930s. He would walk into a room and people would start to clap, and then he would look and see who was clapping. And he would wait for them to continue all to clap until he would sit down. Well, one day he did that for 2.5 hours, and people were still clapping for 2.5 hours. And if anybody stopped clapping, he would get their name and they would be gone the next day. This is the kind of fear that some of those people live in North Korea. It's the same kind of thing. So Kim Jong-un and his generals are a strange breed of leader, totalitarian dictators. And so their country has lived under harsh conditions, under harsh rules, under great scarcity. They've been in situations of near starvation in the last decade where there was talk of cannibalism and other things. So it's really a horrible situation. Plus you have this series of concentration camps where anybody who opposes Kim, anybody who doesn't stay clapping while he's standing, ends up in a concentration camp. So it's a very, very rigid and harsh society. Now, if you look at South Korea, you'll see an amazing society, very vibrant society, where they make all sorts of creative things. They have cars and TVs and everything that we buy around the world. They are a global power, and they're a very small country. And so they have people that are very dynamic, very hardworking, and very much attuned with the 21st century. So now trying to put those two groups together is going to be very difficult, because it will take a phased approach where South Korean, Japanese, and American resources are brought in, and the North Koreans are kind of raised in a level that is able to get them to a point where, there's more food, there's better roads, there's more power, there are things that happen. Otherwise, you end up with a two-tiered society where the North Koreans have no skills that can work in the 21st century, and the South Koreans are, in fact, the leaders of everything, and that will cause more division. So reunifying these kind of countries, just like reunifying East and West Germany, which today, by the way, in Germany is still a problem, and the people who used to live in what used to be West Germany will tell you the East Germans, who are now all Germans, that they don't have the same work ethic as the people that lived in the West Germany. They're not as entrepreneurial. They're not as willing to take a risk on a business. They're just different. Now, it's not the case completely across the board, but in general, some of the people in East Germany wish for the old days where everything was given to them. So those are the challenges you have. So going back to the two points that you said earlier, what happens if we win? What happens if we lose? Now, this is a win for the world, and it's a loss for the world. So if we win, we're able to create a situation where North Korea denuclearizes, takes all their nukes out, and we're able to control that. We have inspectors in there who verify. And if you remember that President Reagan would say, with the Soviet Union, we must trust but verify. Well, with North Korea, we must verify, trust, and then re-verify. Because these guys have lied to us time and time again. and they have used these situations just to raise their money level, keep the regime in power, and then just go back on their word. This time it may be different, because I believe that the North Koreans fear for their regime, that Kim fears for his life because he cannot trust the Chinese, which is very interesting. That's the switch here. The switch this time is that the Chinese don't necessarily think Kim is the guy they want in power. Now they don't have a choice because he's made a deal with the United States. So Kim reached out for survival. That's the key. So we leverage that so that we can denuclearize North Korea, and then we start seeing how we can try to bring the North Korean, American-South Korean war, the Korean War, to an end, and then we start to build on a North and South Korea that are unified. If we lose, the worst case, millions of people die. No one wins.
That is a huge statement right there. Colonel Antal, thank you for bringing your leadership to us. Also, let me tell everybody that Colonel Antal will be my 4th of July show as we talk about the 4th of July, what it really means to the United States. So you're going to want to be listening in on that one. Colonel Antal, thank you so much for being part of the conversation and bringing this information about North Korea and South Korea. Thank you, and God bless you, Colonel. We'll be right back after these words from our partners. This is Jim Blythe and Ron Abrams with Hilliard Wade, United States Army Major.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. The White House says President Trump could support an immigration bill put forward by moderate House Republicans, a bill that would provide a path to citizenship for so-called Dreamers. After the president's earlier statement saying he opposed a moderate immigration bill, the White House walked back his remarks, saying he would sign either of the two bills that Republicans are working on. One is a hard right proposal. The other is a compromise plan drafted by the GOP's conservative and moderate wings. The moderate bill would mandate that children would not be separated from families entering the U.S. illegally. New York Cardinal Timothy Dolan tells our lawmakers to stop arguing and agree on a measure that works.
You bet we got some cold laws that need to be enforced in a very prudent, just way. We also need a good dose of the heart.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
When I say Italy, what comes to mind?
Venice. Capri. Oh my gosh, Capri was marvelous.
The views, the cliffside views, or traveling to Sorrento.
Pirello Tours.
Oh, Pirello Tours, for sure.
Pirello.
Hi, I'm Steve Pirello of Pirello Tours. With over 70 years of tour experience to Italy, it's no wonder Pirello Tours is synonymous with travel to Italy.
I think of the culture.
And to walk up to certain areas and touch a wall and think, well, this wall's like 3,000 years old.
Being on a Pirello Tour on our anniversary was better than anything I can remember ever. On an anniversary.
I personally approve every itinerary to ensure a stress-free once-in-a-lifetime vacation.
Salute!
Call now for your free insider's guide to Pirillo's Italy. Call in the next 30 minutes and qualify for a $100 gift card when you travel with us. Call 800-547-6018. 800-547-6018. 800-547-6018.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-2206. That's 1-800-379-2206.
The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series.
Larson around the outside. Hamlin picks up a big push.
NASCAR's best motor into Michigan.
Chase Elliott underneath him for second. Joey Logano underneath him for third.
Driven to seize supremacy.
Kyle Larson, he's got that Chevrolet out front.
The Firekeepers Casino 400.
Chase looking for his first career win, will not give up.
Sunday at noon on the Motor Racing Network.
Don't miss the Firekeepers 400. Tomorrow at noon only on 1160 AM KBDT.
You're listening to Alliance for the Brave, honoring, serving, and empowering those who have served in the line of duty. Today's program is presented by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Learn more about our mission and how you can plug in with us at AllianceForTheBrave.com. And now, back to the conversation on Alliance for the Brave.
Welcome back. This is Jim Blythe. If you're tuning in, we are Alliance for the Brave, bringing education, information, and communication to veterans, military, and first responders. My next guest is a very dear friend. I am so thankful to have him on board. Jeff Hensley, welcome.
Hey, thanks, Jim. It's great to be here.
Just so a little bit so people know, you are a Navy fighter jock carrier-based. What did you fly in the Navy?
I spent 21 years in both active duty and in reserves flying F-14s and then for a fairly long spell flying T-45s as a flight instructor.
You know, a lot of people, and I say to guys in the Air Force, hey, guys, you want to learn to fly? Fly with the Navy. Pardon me. If you can land on a carrier at night in a rainstorm, then you're a good pilot.
But Jeff, it definitely changes the calculus a bit.
It does. It does. And yesterday, my son and I took a long trip up to Oklahoma in a plane, little Cherokee, and we flew together. I'm getting current again. Hey, Jeff, the reason that I called you and I asked you to be on board is because what you're doing for veterans, it segues into today's conversation with EQUIST of bringing PTS therapy. Tell us a little bit about your background and your passion that you bring to EQUIST to help veterans and about the program, and especially that story about the gentleman I met about a year ago.
Well, I've been over at EQUIST for about 6 years now, and actually got connected to it through my own transition experience. When I got out of the Navy for the last time, I had was coming off a 12-month deployment to Iraq and had some transition issues, difficulties with my family, connecting with them and, finding a new purpose in life was really difficult for me, and so I wound up finding out about equine therapy actually when I got my kids working with a social worker who was doing this kind of work in the local DFW area, and just watching them transition for 3 months working with her and seeing them go from being very anxious, very fearful, having some problems with school and friends to really being normal kids again. Got me thinking that, this is something that I'd really like to know more about. And, ultimately thought maybe it's something that can help me too. So I went back to school and got my master's in counseling and focused on animal-assisted therapy, particularly on equine therapy and on veterans issues. And when I was graduating, I was looking for, a place to start this new trade. And that's about the time EQUIST was just beginning their veterans program. So came over there. Been there ever since, and really now in 6 years with, I think we just passed about 1,000 mark in the number of veterans, military family members that have come through. I've seen just tons and tons of people that were struggling with some of the same issues that I did. You'll find a lot of answers by working with the horses and getting involved in some of the stuff that we do out there.
It's a really big job, especially when you use Dozier. For those of you who don't know, Dozier is a unique horse. But I think the story, and I can't remember his name, the Staff Sergeant Joe or what was it that I met that spoke when we all got together one time, and about the changes that the equine therapy that you helped him with, how that really brought him out, how that really lifted him up.
Yeah, I think his story is pretty powerful, and he's certainly not alone. But, you know, this was a young man that had done a couple of deployments, had spent about 10 years in the Army, and had come home and, you know, really brought a lot of baggage with him from the war. And he had some traditional talk therapy, had been connected with the VA and got some help through there, but I think it was missing a kind of a critical element, and it wasn't until he started coming out and, you know, working at EQuest and forming a relationship, a connection, really, with one of the horses out there named Mac, that he started to see some real progress. And, you know, interestingly enough, he has wound up, I guess he's been working with us for maybe a year and a half, and now he's one of our greatest spokesmen and also one of our biggest volunteers. I mean, he's made the full circle transition to where now he's out there leading groups of veteran volunteers, you know, that are doing facilities maintenance and horse care and, you know, cutting trails for us out in the Trinity Forest, you know, all kinds of very, very cool stuff. And, you know, he'll be the first to tell you that that kind of progress, he probably would not have been able to make it anywhere else.
You know, that sort of therapy, I've done that. I've worked with horses. I've trained horses. It's hugely therapeutic to work with an animal like that. And amazingly, horses, they can bond with you. You can really feel that. And it gives you a sense of purpose. And if you really want to have fun, get a bulldozer and cut a trail through the forest. That's even more fun. I've done that
it's
both.
It's pretty therapeutic, too.
So one of the things, too, is we're describing what is a tremendous therapy and an opportunity. How do people find out about it? Because I know Joe found out from a friend, but we want to tell people here on Alliance for a Brave, where can you go to plug in? So if you've got a brother or a sister or a husband or a wife or a family member or a friend that may be able to use this, where do they go to find out about it?
Well, they can go directly to our website, which is www.equest.org/veterans, and they can you know, learn specifically about the veterans program as well as other EQuest programs. So we do a lot of work with special needs populations and some other groups out there, and so all that information is on our website. You know, there's also they can find us through social media. We're on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. We are a part of several coordinated care networks, including Texas Serves North Texas, which is a new network that just launched this spring, and also Carry the Load in their coordinated care network. So there's lots of different ways for folks to get in touch with us.
Now, you guys have got an event, and I got to participate last year, and I thought that was the most fun. That was the hottest party in Dallas.
So on the hottest day in Dallas.
That was also the hottest day in Dallas last year that we had that party. But how do people, where can people find out and tell us a little bit about the event? That was so much fun last year.
Yeah, it really was. It was the first year we had done it. And so I think it was just a great event. And people had a really good time. And it was also a steep learning curve for us. One being, how do you deal with an event like that in the middle of July in the summertime in Texas? So this year we've got a lot of misters, and so the environmental control should be a little bit better. But the event itself, they can go to equest.org/boots and find out all about it. It's July 20th, and it's going to be an outdoor event in our covered arena where we'll have a whole different set of supper options from about half a dozen different caterers around town. We've got some great beer from the Real Ale Beer Company. We've got some entertainment on board, some good speakers, and the T6 Texan flyover, which is kind of cool. That was a big hit last year.
That was. And the Trinity Forest, that is such a beautiful area. It's down there where the Trinity Forest Golf Course is. But yep. It's actually, and I want to use the word in multiple meanings, it is a cooler venue because it actually is cooler down there. We had the wind last year, the breeze, and it was pretty nice.
It's not bad. It's really interesting. For starters, a lot of people are just shocked to find out that there's a 7,000-acre forest right south of downtown. But the other thing is it's so incredibly beautiful down there. And, this is an area that is largely untouched by people out in Dallas, and it's just absolutely beautiful. The Texas Horse Park sits on 300 acres of it right in the middle. And, to your point that it's a lot cooler, that's absolutely true. You can be standing in the direct sunlight, and all of a sudden you hit the tree line, and the temperature drops 20 degrees. It's really pretty amazing.
Now, with this, people are going to be able to go through the facility, actually meet some of the horses. Last year, one of the most fun, crazy things I did was I interviewed Dozier. Now, and we put that on Facebook. I mean, and Dozier is, what, half Percheron, half thoroughbred? He's a little bit large. That's a big horse.
He's a big old horse, for sure, and a lot of people know Dozier. He's, he's kind of our... I guess if you have a spokeshorse, he's definitely the one, because he goes to a lot of events to represent us and does interviews like yours. He's a former Dallas police horse and very large, 17-hand horse. So he's intimidating in size, but he's very, very sweet. And a lot of people really connect with him. But he's just one of 36 horses that we have on the property. And each one of them has a unique personality. A lot of them do different, have different niches that they fill in our program. And they all love what they do. They love to connect with people, and they love to have a purpose and meaning.
One of the other things you mentioned, Carry the Load, your group Equus, is powered by Carry the Load. Also, last year I was at a deal with you and the Dealey Foundation, which is a wonderful foundation formed by the Dealey family that originally started and owned the Dallas Morning News. They gave a major contribution. You have a lot of other foundations that contribute, but I think, and it vetted Equest and the tremendous work they do. Again, if people go to Equest, they not only can find out about Boots and Salutes, but they can make a contribution. They can join in the tremendous help that you're doing for helping veterans, helping people with PTS. So again, let's give out that that website and tell people how they can donate, how can they be a part of Equest.
Yeah, the website is equest.org. It's EQUEST.org. If you go slash veterans, then you can go directly to our Hoods for Heroes program, which is our wellness program for veterans and military families and first responders. In addition, like I said, you can find us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. There's a lot of different ways to connect with us.
And I think that's really important. Jeff, also, I highly recommend people come down there and meet with you and take a tour. And again, you're going to get that opportunity at Boots and Salutes to participate, to be a part, and to get to meet all these people. I was just amazed with all of the people that I met last year and the involvement that I had, and I thought that was terrific. And one of the things is people go, well, why are you raising money? Well, it costs a lot of money to feed those animals. Really? I mean,
yeah.
Dozier, he got to be a big boy. I mean, he needs some groceries, right?
Yeah, that's true. We, it's not an inexpensive therapy. Having 36 horses and maintaining that property down there is expensive. Although our impact it's pretty significant. We saw over 400 veterans and military family members last year alone. And are on track to exceed that. We operate at about 100% capacity all the time, and particularly in the counseling program where we never dip below 100%. One of the really important sources of support that we have gotten is through the state of Texas and their Health and Human Services Commission. We were a grant recipient for what is known as the Texas Veterans Plus Family Alliance, both Phase 2 and Phase 3 funding that allows us to match the state dollars with private donations. And so, for instance, Boots and Salutes and the Dealey Foundation and Carry the Load, those funds that come in are matched by the state one-to-one. And so that has gone a long way to help us offer all of these services to our veterans and military families at no charge. In fact, the only requirement that we have of them is that we ask them to pay it forward by either volunteering with us or with one of our nonprofit partners. But there's no expense involved with the program.
And let me tell you, I know from personal experience, having had horses, trained horses, I trained an Arabian, and people laugh at me when I say this, but there is no therapy like cleaning out a stall. You know, Jeff, that's really something when you get your hands dirty and you get sweaty, but it really cleanses the soul.
Yeah, it does indeed. I mean, there's something about, you know, being around a horse. I mean, they're completely authentic animals. You know, it's one of the very few truly authentic relationships that we have in many of our lives. And, you know, it's not one that that you can just go into without a thought. You know, horses are not naturally designed to connect with a predator like humans. And so in order to build a relationship with them, it has to be built on trust, on, you know, authentic communication, on willingness to be vulnerable.
Well, tell you what let's do, Jeff. Let's continue this conversation when we come back after a word from our partners. And again, we're going to tell people go to equest.org. Is that correct? And they can find out about Boots and Salutes. That was one of the most fun parties I've ever been to. And they can also get involved by donating. They can also get involved by volunteering. I mean, what more fun can you think of than cleaning up a stall? This is Jim Blythe with Ron Abrams, and we're talking with Jeff Hensley, and we're going to be right back after this word from our partners.
AM KBDT proudly presents this historic salute to Grapevine, Texas, brought to you by Grapevine Power Sports. In 1889, the J.E. Faust store opens on Main Street. It's now Grapevine's oldest remaining brick building. Eggs sell for 10 cents per dozen. Butter is 20 cents per pound. And chickens are $2.50 a dozen.
I'm Aaron McWhorter with Grapevine Power Sports. When I bought the dealership, I came in to buy a four-wheeler. They were a freestanding Kawasaki dealership, and I said, "Dennis, I don't mean to pry. Are you interested in selling this place?" And he said, "I don't know why I'm telling you this, but we're fixing to put it on the market." I said, "Dennis, I'll take it." In the last 3 years, we've done 60% increase. The mayor is a customer of mine. The city manager is a customer of mine. A lot of friends that live here still. The small town feel right in the middle of the big metroplex.
Grapevine, Texas, a world festival and event city. Find out more about Grapevine by going to www.grapevinetexas.gov. Step back in time. Visit historic Grapevine, Texas today.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
Oh, I had my joints all ached. My sciatic nerve was really bad. Like 10 hours, my eyes were so tired and heavy and almost burning. And then when I woke up in the morning, there was this nagging pain. I mean, it hurt to open them. And just in a week, like, I don't have the nagging pain anymore. My joints stopped hurting, and I'm in wood season. I'm lugging wood right now, and I'm not hurting. So that's, like, amazing for me. I'm usually really suffering. It's pretty effective. And so now, like I said, my husband and I are both taking it, and he even said his joints aren't aching as much, and he's feeling better.
Good health is only a phone call away. What are you waiting for? Don't miss your opportunity to get a free month's supply of Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code USA.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-379-2206. That's 1-800-379-2206.
Get the best night's sleep of your life with a MyPillow. Go to MyPillow.com, enter promo code USA, and you'll get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows and two Go Anywhere pillows. MyPillow.com, promo code USA, or call 1-800-951-8175. 100% machine washable, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. How can you lose? Go to MyPillow.com, promo...
Today's program is brought to you by 1160 AM KBDT, Gear Services Web Design, Jim Blythe, Certified Senior Advisor, and the Texas Veterans Commission. Visit us on Facebook or join the conversation by calling 214-810-TALK. That's 214-810-8255. And now, back to Alliance for the Brave.
Welcome back. This is Jim Blythe with Ron Abrams. We're talking with Jeff Hensley with EQuest. Hey, Jeff, you get to do two of my favorite things. You're a pilot, you flew fighters, and you get to take care of horses. And I love horses, man.
Yeah, I do too. And now I haven't done a whole lot of flying in the last few years. I, you know, my civilian job outside of the Navy was flying for United. But when I discovered EQuest and working with horses, I took a leave of absence, which I've been on for 6 years now. So I anticipate that I'll be going back anytime soon.
You're not current there, buddy. I could tell you that.
Nope.
I tell you one of the things.
You wouldn't want to fly with me right now.
I got to tell you, and this is my experience, and I was relating this to Ron Abrams during the break. One of the things that I love about flying and that I love in working with horses is when you're doing that activity, you are totally in the moment. You are totally involved. You can't be distracted. You can't be doing something else, because when you do that, you can make some pretty bad mistakes. A horse, believe it or not, unintentionally can hurt you. But when you work and you are focused in that, and you have that peace that comes with that focus, it changes things. I think it lifts you up. I think it gets you clear. When Ashley and I were flying up to Ardmore, man, I mean, I'm totally flying the plane. When I was training Celebrity Star or I was working with one of the other horses, I was totally in it. That is a huge relief. It takes away all of the tension. You're not a daddy. You're not a businessman. You're not a this. You're not a that. You are in the moment. You're an equestrian or you're a pilot. And I think those things are similar. Don't you think, Jeff?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, I think so. Oftentimes, you know, we spend our time either worrying about the future constantly, you know, which produces anxiety, or, you know, ruminating about the past, which is sort of the roots of depression and regret. Rather than focusing on what's going on right now, and you know, an opportunity to be around horses, or like you said, you know, you sit in the cockpit of a fighter, or you know, flying on a small plane, your clarity is, I mean, it's really unique, and you truly are in the moment, which is you know, we can't spend our whole lives living in the moment, but we can certainly spend part of it and not miss, you know, that important time that's going past right now.
And that's tremendously therapeutic. And what you bring to that experience is not only your military background, but your training in counseling, in psychology. You bring a level of expertise in training and experience, your experience with dealing with the leaving the military. I think that speaks volumes about your service today as well as your service in the past.
Well, I mean, it's definitely helped me to maybe connect with some of the participants. They come out in a way that I might not have otherwise, just because, you know, I have struggled with that transition. And, you know, all of us have unique transitions, but having that common background in the military makes it a little bit easier to understand sometimes what the struggles are facing our participants. And you know, in the end, equine therapy is good for just about anybody, and I firmly believe that. I think that anybody being around horses can take away something valuable, but it sure does seem to be a good fit for those folks that are navigating that transition out of the military into civilian life.
Well, let me tell you, if you like gardening, you can take away a whole lot of fertilizer by cleaning a stall.
Yes, you can, and I have.
And I have, too, man. I think it's really important. So, again, we want to tell people to go to equist.com or .org, but you've got a tremendous – now, when is the boots and salutes?
It's on July the 20th, so we're coming up on a month out.
All right, July the 20th, and Diane and I have already bought our tickets. We're going to be there for Boots and Salutes. We're going to join in with you guys. Great. Last year, the food was tremendous. The camaraderie was even better, and it was so much fun. So I'm telling everybody, be there. Thank you, Jeff, for being on board. God bless you for all you're doing for veterans.
Yeah, Jim, I really appreciate it. As always, it's a pleasure chatting with you.
All right, buddy. We'll see you on the 20th, if not before. Ron, this has been a great program today. We've thoroughly enjoyed it, talking about the reunification and the possible peace in Korea, as well as PTS, as well as then homelessness with our major. This has been a great day.
It has.
And I'll tell you what, it's going to be really great next week. We've got a lot of great things coming up. I think people can go to our website, Alliance for the Brave. We're going to be posting what we're doing. If you're joining us and you're throughout the United States or you're with Armed Forces Radio Network and you hear this, you can contact us on AllianceForTheBrave.com. We're here for you. We're here to answer questions, provide education, information, and communication. This is Jim Blythe and Ron Abrams saying thank you for all those who have served. Thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you for all you do for us. Help us to serve you in return. Ron?
See you next week.
See you next week. Ron and I'll be right back with another great program and opportunities for you to tune in, plug in, and join in. This is Alliance for the Brave, carried on the USA Radio Network and carried on the Armed Forces Radio Network worldwide. Thank you and God bless you all. Good afternoon and have a great day.